Today is Easter Sunday, the feast of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The epistle for this Mass is taken from St. Paul's first epistle to the Corinthians. Brethren, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new dough as you really are without leaven. For Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed. Therefore, let us keep festival, not with the old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Please stand for the Gospel. The Holy Gospel for this Mass is taken from the account according to St. Mark, chapter 16, verses 1 to 7. At that time, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James, and Salome bought spices that they might go and anoint Jesus. And very early on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had just risen. And they were saying to one another, "Who will roll the stone back from the entrance of the tomb for us?" And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back, for it was very large. But on entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting at the right side, clothed in a white robe, and they were amazed. He said to them, "Do not be terrified. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he goes before you into Galilee. There you shall see him as he told you." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. This Mass of Easter Sunday, this day, commemorating and reenacting liturgically and sacramentally and really the resurrection, the bodily resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This day is the greatest day of the entire liturgical year. From the first Sunday of Advent to this day, it's all one huge preparation. Because our Lord was conceived in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary. He became a man while still being God. And he lived many years in secret, and then about 3 years publicly to proclaim all the doctrine he wanted the faithful, the people, to know. But remember, he came on earth. He became a man to die on the cross for our sins out of love for us. All is summed up in that. This day is so great, it is called by liturgical writers and feasts, rather saints, it's called the Feast of Feasts, the Day of Days. We today still have the octave of Easter, meaning today and the 8 days following are one huge, great feast honoring the Son of God risen from the dead. In this epistle that St. Paul gives us today, he tells us, as I read a moment ago, to purge out the old leaven. Now this remark, these words from the Holy Ghost, sound like words that would begin Lent. To put away our faults and sins, reform our lives, and pray. Holy Mother, the Church, God the Holy Ghost wants us to every day, even a day like this, to purge out what is still in our hearts, in our souls, that may separate us from the bodily resurrection of our Lord. And he says, let us keep festival, not with the old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. St. Paul is also referring to the fact that when our Lord came, but especially when he died on the cross, and especially when he rose from the dead, that was the definitive moment that the old Mosaic law, which was a preparation for the Savior, is over. There are references by the gospel writers that say, our Lord, by this work or by this deed, put to rest, abolished the old laws, which were meant to lead those chosen people and any others, any Gentiles, to prepare for the Savior. So the old law is over. And briefly, we may not realize the importance of it, how important this day is in terms of the date, how it's calculated by Holy Mother the Church. The reason is, it came from the apostles, St. Peter and the other 11 apostles, to move the day to worship God on the first day of the week, not on the Sabbath as the old law, the first day of the week when God created light, when he started creation. This is all in God's mind from all eternity, to move it to Sunday because it's the first day of creation, and also that is the day our Lord rose from the dead. And they thought it is not fitting to offer Mass and to worship God on the day of the old law. And as the decades and centuries progressed in the early church, it became a bitter dispute among Christians, because they were Christians who were Judaizers. They felt, we have to still fulfill the Mosaic laws of the Jews, and then we can be Christians too. It was sort of like the mixing of religions as Catholics have been afflicted with for the last 50 years. And so there were popes who said, no, the date will be calculated according to Holy Mother the Church. And that day is the Sunday after the Passover, after the vernal equinox, the first day of spring. And there were still Christians, especially in the East, who would not bend to the Pope. And we may think, well, does it really matter to have Easter on this date or another day? It does, because God is one. The Holy Trinity is one God and three divine persons, And we celebrate the greatest feast on one day, not different days. So to this day, the Greek Orthodox and other so-called Christians most often do not celebrate it on the day the true church does. But do you know what happened? Because communication was not like it is today, so there would be sometimes years who would pass by, and these remote areas still celebrated Easter, especially the Easter Vigil, on the wrong day. And God had mercy upon these people because some were just mistaken. Some were stiff-necked and they were corrected, and some would not follow Holy Mother the Church, and as we said, even to this day, will refuse to celebrate it in union with the true church. But for these poor remote heirs, there are about three or four instances where these villages and towns, at the Easter Vigil, when it was time for baptism, they had, instead of a font, they had sort of a pit that was constructed for baptism. And every year at the moment for baptisms, they would go here and it would miraculously fill with water. But then, after the Pope had issued that it would be on the correct day, they went into these places and the water did not rise, and they realized God doesn't want us to celebrate Easter on this day. And they waited and they check, and they realized after days or weeks, here is the day for Easter. And so we have the beautiful gradual today, Psalm 117. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. So you heard that choir chant this gradual. And did you notice how long it was? In Gregorian chant, the style, the length, the pitch of the music often depicts and describes what the words are saying. And the very words, this day, this is the day the Lord has made, it is because Easter Sunday, the feast of Easter, is for 8 days. It is so great. It used to be, in more fervent times, that besides today, the whole rest of the week were holy days of obligation. Monday all the way through Saturday, and then we have Low Sunday. So there was no servile work. It was a day of days of rest and celebration and going to Mass, especially in the morning. How far we have come. Let us have a great desire to appreciate what our Lord did for us by rising from the dead. He just didn't rise from the dead. He conquered death. Because God is almighty and can do all things. And in his divine providence and wisdom, he chose to permit man to fall, Adam to fall, and that his descendants, all of us, would inherit his punishment of original sin. However, What is so exquisite, what is so beautiful, is that God gave man, through his priests, a way out, if we desire it. So we have the beautiful sacrament of baptism. So last night, the baptismal water for the entire year was made by the priest right here in the sanctuary. So that anyone and infants who have good parents who want to be saved, who want to go to heaven, can be baptized. And then for those who are already baptized, Holy Mother of the Church had the renewal of baptismal promises last night. You can read it in your missal. Maybe some of you were here last night and you did that. If you didn't, you can do it privately. It's not the same, but it's showing what St. Paul says in the epistle, for those who have sincerity and truth, you want to do the best you can. So this is a day of great victory. Victory over death, over sin, over selfishness, over pride, all qualities of Lucifer and his fellow evil spirits and his evil agents on earth, and those evil agents who have infiltrated our Holy Mother, the Church, to this day. Heaven does exist. God created it for us. Hell does exist. Created for the evil spirits who disobey God, and for those who deny Christ and die unrepentant, no matter what anyone says. Because Jesus Christ told us hell exists. Finally, if you look at the front of this vestment, you can see a blue cloaked image of the Blessed Virgin Mary. So the person who designed this vestment, on the back of the vestment, has an image embroidered of the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ and with the angels. But on the front, the Blessed Virgin Mary. And if we can say today, there are many patrons we can have, such as the angels or the apostles, but I would say there are two great patrons for today. The Blessed Virgin Mary, who our Lord appeared to first after he rose from the dead. As Father mentioned last night in his sermon about how good son Jesus was to go to the Blessed Virgin Mary and to comfort her because she had seen such terrible things happen to her son and had her heart, her immaculate heart, broken. So we must love her and thank her because her sufferings, her prayers, also subordinately made up for our sins. And isn't it a joyful thing to see the statue unveiled? After 2 weeks of seeing it hidden, I was assigned last night to unveil that statue, and it gave me great joy to do that. But our other patron, we could say, is none other than St. Mary Magdalene, the second person our Lord appeared to after he rose from the dead. Not to St. Peter, not to the other apostles. He went to this woman who is one of the greatest sinners of all time, we could say. But at least one of the greatest sinners known in the Gospels. Because she was before our Lord died. Because she was so moved by our Lord's goodness when she saw him at that feast, that she just came in. She had heard him speak. She had probably seen him perform miracles. And she thought, I am so great a sinner. I'm not even worthy to go up to him to ask for forgiveness. I know what I'll do. I'll just sneak in and perform what the host of the dinner did not do. She took the container that was around her neck of the precious oil and fragrance and poured it all over our Lord. And because she was so sorry for her sins, she started to weep profusely. And she washed our Lord's feet with her tears and dried his feet with her hair. What a touching scene. And our Lord forgave her all her sins because of her great love and her great sorrow. And so our Lord chose to appear to her and gave her the joy of seeing him rise from the dead before any of the apostles and anyone else. That's what our Lord will do for us. If we are repentant. So the very last thing we'll say is this. As it said last night when we made our baptismal promises, it says, now the time of our Lenten training is over. So for fervent Catholics, for all of us in the community and all the sisters, it's a big relief and lots of joy because of the 40 days of Lent are over and it's a time to celebrate. But we have to remember, this is just one more gift from our Lord, one more Holy Week, one more Easter to prepare us for heaven. We have said it before, our community exists, Servants of the Holy Family exists to preserve the faith, to offer the true holy sacrifice of the Mass, and to especially permit, allow, do everything possible to put before God and the faithful, the beautiful ceremonies of Holy Week. That's what we live for, and that's what we will die for. So now we have one more step, one more Mass, one more Holy Week on our way to heaven. So we, even though we have great joy, we must not relax. We have to always be ready, be prepared. As our Lord says, watch and pray. Because at a moment we don't know, he will come. The second coming. And those of us who have been faithful, God willing, will be taken up with our Lord in heaven. There to celebrate Easter for all eternity. So we hope and we pray that that will be your prayer too. To always remember, heaven is where I belong. Heaven is my home. That's what Easter is all about. So all the priests and all the seminarians and the sisters, we all want to extend to you our best wishes that you may have a happy and grace-filled Easter and Easter week. May you assist at Mass as much as possible during this week and for the whole rest of the liturgical year. May God bless you.